Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. Jesus was born to a virgin some 2,000 years ago to live a sinless life, set up his church, die on the cross for our sins, and be resurrected. When he comes back again, he will come as the conquering Messiah, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, decimating the armies of the Antichrist and sending him and his false prophet to the lake of fire. Furthermore, holy angels will execute every man, woman, and child who has taken the mark of the beast, and Satan will be bound and thrown into prison. Jesus will then restore the earth to its pre-sin condition and rule the world from Jerusalem in justice and righteousness for 1,000 years. At the end, Satan will be released to deceive the masses in one last fight against God, and then the great white throne judgment takes place. Finally, the universe is dissolved and recreated with no sin, and we will finally be able to see our Heavenly Father in all His splendor, and He will appear to us as one person. Join us for this exciting message. It is entitled, Jesus is Coming Back. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church on October the 23rd, 2011. And I'm very glad that you are here today. And we're going to be speaking about one of my favorite subjects, Jesus is coming back. So let's stand and let's pray. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you right now that I can stand in this pulpit and preach the Word of God. And in the name of Jesus, I command every evil spirit that is trying to attack us here today, to derail us, to steal our joy, to something right now in the name of Jesus, I command you to be taken out. Every spirit of depression, go in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, my Heavenly Father, for sending your holy angels to execute that judgment right now. And I pray, Father God, to give me liberty, that I will not think about anything except the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank and I praise you for that now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. First of all, I want to say this. My name is not Harold Camping. And I'm sure that Harold Camping is not feeling too good this weekend. And I want to take it to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, verse number 36. That's Matthew 24, verse number 36. As I speak about the second coming of Christ, I want to lay this down first. Very important you get this. I do not set any times. No man can set any time. No one knows when Jesus Christ is coming back except the Father. And he hasn't told anyone. In Matthew 24, verse number 36, we read this. But of that day and hour knows no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Jesus is going to come back. That's a fact. We do not know when. He didn't tell us that. He simply said, I am coming back. And if you turn onto the book of Acts, chapter 1, these are two bonus scriptures I want to give you this morning. The book of Acts, chapter 1, and you pick it up in verse 9 through 11. And when he, Jesus, spoke any things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while he looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. It is important now that we understand that Jesus Christ is alive. Buddha is dead. Muhammad is dead. Joseph Smith is dead. All the people that study religions are dead in the graves. Jesus Christ is alive. He's in heaven right now. And someday he is going to come back. I want you to understand this, that when the apostles walked with Jesus, none of the gospels were written. The book of Acts, of course, was not written. Paul's letter was not written. Paul was not even saved at that time. And the book of Revelation was not given at that time. We now know more than the apostles about his second coming. Let's begin by turning to Revelation chapter 8. That's Revelation, the 8th chapter. And I want to tell you this, God is not sentimental. He is love, but he's a God of judgment, and he's not sentimental. The first thing we're going to look upon is this. The scenario of the second coming of Jesus is well laid out in the book of Revelation. And just before Jesus comes back, God has poured out on the earth, and the earth has been wasted. Revelation 8, 5. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices, thunderings, and lightnings, and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire, mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees were burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, it was that a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ship were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers, upon the fountain of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the water became wormwood. And many died of the waters, because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. Thus the third part of them was darkened, and the day showed not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. This is a description, if you really think about it, of an absolute, total devastation upon this earth. It would be such a devastation, it would deal with the land, the trees, it would deal with the sea, it would deal with the rivers, water. The earth is going to be absolutely devastated. And the Bible tells us so. The Bible doesn't say that when Jesus comes back, the church is going to be in power. It says the earth is going to be devastated. If you turn to Revelation 9:18, we find this. That's Revelation 9:18. By these three was a third part of men killed, by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouth. World War II took 80 million people that died. In this case now, one third of the world population will be killed. That's one third. We're talking about 7 billion people right now. And that means that about 3 to 4 billion people will die prior to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation 19, we are told now how he is going to come. And this is the good news. It's good news for us, bad news for the unbelievers. Good news for us. Bad news for the unbelievers. In Revelation 19, verse number 11, we read this. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon it was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. When Jesus gave his revelation to the Apostle John, they had no electricity, they had no airplanes, they had no technology like we have today. And symbolically, he simply said they came on horses. Well, Jesus Christ is going to come in glory. If he's, whatever he's using, whatever type of spacecraft it is going to be an armada from outer space that's going to come. And when Jesus comes, he said this, it will be that the lightning that goes from the east to the west, everyone will see it. It will be simultaneously in Australia, which is down below us, on this side of the earth, everywhere, there will be the sign of Jesus coming back. His armies, which include you and I that are saved now, will be coming back with him. This is the time when the ACLU will not be able to say, well, this is unconstitutional. He's not going to ask the Supreme Court if I may land in Washington, D.C., or if that is violating separating church and state. At that time, Jesus is going to step down on Mount Olive. He's going to split in half. His forces are going to be all over the earth. And it's going to be a tremendous event on this planet. This is a time when the Bible talks about the prayer to the rocks. Revelation chapter 6. When men would simply cry to the rocks, the mountains, to cover them from the wrath of the Lamb. I want you to think now. The first time Jesus came, he came to die, to save us from our sins, to live a righteous life. He was a babe, a man, a healer, cast out demons. He was a Lamb of God. This time, he's coming back as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming in wrath, great wrath. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it shall smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treads the winepress of the fierce of wrath and wrath of Almighty God. And he has in his vesture and in his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourself together to the supper of the great God, that they may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And the son of the beast, and the king of the earth, and the armies, gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Now, I want you to think for me a couple of minutes. Since about 1950, we've had a lot of movies made, and these movies were made of an invasion from outer space. And these creatures from outer space came down to devour us, and all the nations of the earth banded together to fight these beings coming from outer space. And we've had that, I remember as a teenager, and it's been on and on again. Why do you think? Because Satan has prepared a mindset of people that when this comes to pass, they will try to rise and defend the earth against this space invasion. We do not know how long this little war is going to take. But it simply says this, it's going to be a war. But this time, in verse number 20, we read this. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrote miracle before him, with which he deceived them, that they received the mark of the beast, and then I worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Jesus will simply reach out with his forces. The Antichrist will be taken. The false prophet will be taken. They're not going to be having a judgment. They'll be taken straight to the lake of fire, where they will begin to burn and have their eternal punishment. But look now in verse number 21. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh. People say we should, you know, be careful when we talk to people today. The book of Revelation tells us this, that after the beast and the Antichrist has been taken to the lake of fire, every unbeliever, man, woman, boys and girls that have the mark of the beast in their hand, in their forehead, will be executed on the spot. There will be no chance. No one is going to say, would you accept Christ? Would you like to be saved? The moment you see Jesus coming back in the air, salvation is no longer available for any one of these people. They've taken a mark, they are doomed, and they will be executed and taken to the lake of fire. We need to tell people this. We need to tell them, look, you're rejecting Christ. It's going to cost you someday. And then we're going to talk about the positive, the first resurrection. Turn to me to 1 Thessalonians. That's the 1 Thessalonians. And we're going to pick it up in verse chapter 4. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we pick it up in verse number 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord should not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. For the times and the season, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourself know perfect the day of the Lord that comes as a thief in the night. The good news is now that if you are saved, if you're born again, if you would die today or tomorrow, your body will go into the grave, your soul and spirit will travel immediately to heaven to be with the Lord and the other saints. If you and I manage to get through during the tribulation time, when it's going to be the catching away, then we will be taken up and be with the Lord. It's a win-win situation for us. We cannot lose. Back to Revelation 24 now. That's Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 4. Revelation 24. Actually, I want to read first here about the devil who's arrested. Right after the war is over, all the unbelievers have been killed off. In Revelation 21, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having a key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on a dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nation no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. How many angels are going to take to get a hold of the devil? One. One angel is going to step down, get a hold of Lucifer, the old serpent, devil, chain him, take him to prison, and simply cover him up. He'd be gone for 1,000 years. When he's gone, his minions, the demons, the fallen angels, will be also out of commission. And now, something great is going to happen. There's going to be a resurrection. The earth is going to be restored. The destruction is going to be repaired. And in Revelation 24, we read this. And I saw thrones, they that sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again till 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. We could be part of that. The earth now is going to be restored to how it was before Adam and Eve sinned. You and I will have our heavenly bodies. We will have a body now that will not age. It will be, you will probably look like you're about 25, 26 years old, handsome, beautiful for you women. And we will simply not age anymore. No more bald spots on our heads. No more things hanging over. We be perfect. And you and I, in this 1,000-year kingdom, will be able to travel any place on this earth. For 1,000 years, we're going to work with the Lord. We're going to reign with him. And this is the time I'm going to visit Jerusalem. I'm going to visit South America. I'm going to visit Australia. I'm going to look all over the place during the 1,000-year kingdom. This is going to be an absolute fantastic time. The earth restored. And you will not be able to walking on this earth and doing things that we could not do. There's not going to be any poverty. We could have plenty of cash. Plenty to do things with. Paradise on earth. Turn to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah. I'm going to pick it up in verse number 65. And we have a description here that God gave Isaiah. He got that 700 years before Christ. Isaiah chapter 65. And at this time, Shireen, you don't need to have a small dog. You can have a tiger. And he will just lick you and say, I love you. And even you, Carol, you know, the cats, you know, would be much bigger. You could have whatever you want of cats. So this will be going to be good. Now, Isaiah 65, 19. Listen to these verses now. That's Isaiah. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more dance at infant of days, nor an old man does not fill his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. These are the people now that are born during the 1,000-year kingdom. These are born to people that survived the tribulation. And now, there will be no death if a person is sinning or rebellious against God. He will get 100 years. And that's it. Verse 21. They shall build houses and inhabit them. There shall be no housing crisis this time. They shall plant vineyards and eat of the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, my elect shall long enjoy the work of the hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they're yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the bullock. And dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountains, says the Lord. Imagine that. No snakes that will bite. You can walk any place. No fear. No sharks that will bite if you go snorkeling or swimming. Whatever you go, safe and secure in the arms of Jesus, a perfect earth for 1,000 years. One person got excited. Now I want you to think about this. This is what Jesus has planned for us. In those days, Brother Thomas, you're not going to have to plaster anymore. You're going to be ruling with the Lord. Ruling. Building things. We're going to build things for God on this earth that has never been seen before. This is 1,000 years kingdom. Praise God, I got a ticket. Now the Jehovah's Witnesses got this wrong. Jehovah's Witnesses, you cannot be saved among them because about 1930 or so, their heaven were filled. They had 144,000 seats. They all got filled about 1935. So all they are selling you now are tickets to the 1,000-year kingdom. But their kingdom does not last. But 1,000 years is up. If you are there, you get snuffed out. You stayed 1,000 years. It's not even worth wearing out the shoes they're doing. But we got a much greater thing. The end game. Let me read this so I get this right. The believers in Christ who made it through the tribulation period will repopulate the earth during the 1,000 years kingdom. People live healthy for a millennium, and the childbearing years will last for the entire 1,000-year period, with the result that billions of people are born during this time. Now, ladies, imagine this now. There's not going to be any childbirth pain, no pain. Imagine this now having been able to have babies for 1,000 years. That's exciting. Now, no pain. All right? However, there's no salvation for the children born to these believers because the devil isn't around. But since every human being must be tempted, the devil will be set loose from his prison at the end of the millennium to tempt every person born during this period. Turn to Revelation 27 now. There's Revelation 27. By the way, the 1,000-year kingdom, there'll be no crimes, no murders, no disease. Isn't that wonderful? No arthritis. No eye problems. No heart problems. No high blood pressure. Perfect. 1,000 years. Now, in Revelation 27, but you know, it doesn't last more than 1,000 years. When 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to get them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. This is going to be a tragedy, and I want you to really understand that. We have been on the earth for 1,000 years. Billions of people, probably maybe 50, 60 billion people are alive at this time. They have lived in a perfect environment. They have seen Jesus reigning out of Jerusalem in person, in his physical body. They've had nothing but goodness, good time, healthy bodies. You cannot name it. They have had it perfect. And then Satan comes. And he goes out with his fallen angels. And every man and woman that is born after the thousand years we started will be tempted. And the tragedy is the majority are the people that lived for 1,000 years with Christ will turn from Jesus and say, Lucifer, you are greater. That is the power of deception. Enticement. We can see that today on people. Have you noticed? It's so hard to witness today. It is so hard to witness today. People don't really want Jesus. They don't want God. They don't like the Bible. But can you imagine that? The tragedy of all these people saying, Jesus, it was nice to have known you. But this guy, he shines brighter than you do. Remember, he took one third of the angels with him. He was able to bamboozle them. Don't underestimate the power of the devil. The enticement, the thrills, the feelings, the rush that he gives. And once he got you, your neck is snapped. A tragedy. Keep your finger there and turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 38. Ezekiel chapter 38. Ezekiel lived 500 years before Christ. And I'm going to read from verses 38 and down a few verses here. The Christian Zionists are placing this at the Armageddon. This at the end of the 1,000-year kingdom. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog, the land of Magog, and the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against them. And say, this is the Lord God, behold, I'm against you, Gog, and the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. These are demon rulers. These are archons. And I will turn you back and put hooks in your jaws. I will bring you forth and all your army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor. Even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, Libya, with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarmah of the north quarters, and all his bands, as many people with you. Be you prepared and prepare for yourself, you and all your company that are assembled unto you. And be you a guard. Well, actually, there's a prison guard here unto them. After many days, you shall be visited. In the latter years, you shall come into the land that is brought back for the sword. And is gathered out of many people against the mountain of Israel, which have been always waste, but is brought forth other nations. They shall dwell safely, all of them. You shall ascend and come like a storm. You shall be like a cloud to cover the land. You and all your bands, and many people with you. This is the Lord God. It shall also come to pass at the same time shall things come into your mind. You shall think an evil thought. And you shall say, I will go up to the land of the unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls, having neither bars nor gates. Israel today, that's not the condition. They're not living in peace and safety. They are very much armed to take a spoil, to take a prey, to turn your hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which are gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land. And then, in here, God simply says this, we drop down to verse number 18. It shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, says the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. For in my jealousy, in the fire of my wrath, have I spoken, surely, in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel. So the fish of the sea, the fowls of the heaven, the beasts of the field, and all creeping things that creep on the earth, and all the men that are upon the face of the earth, shall shake at my presence. And the mountains shall be thrown down, and a steep place shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. You can read that chapter the rest of it when you come home and see the description of it. But let me take you back now to Revelation 20. That's Revelation chapter 20. And you read this in verse number 8 again. Notice now it's only two places of the Bible where Gog and Magog are mentioned, Ezekiel and Revelation. And shall go out to deceive the nation which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to get them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, compassed the camp of the saints above, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. I want you to think about something. We have this written down. There's going to come a generation. It might be 100 years from now, 50 years from now, 200 years. We don't know when the tribulation time will take place. But there will be a generation born for 1,000 years, billions of them. During 1,000 years, there'll be churches. There'll be Bible preaching. They will have the Bible. They will have this knowledge. They will know it. And they will turn against it. You know people that are not saved. And they are well aware. They talk about hell all the time. They know what hell is. They know basic what's written in here. And yet they say, I don't want him. I don't want Jesus. The human race is very rebellious. Now, the demise of Satan. In Matthew chapter 25, verse number 41, we read this. That's Matthew 25, 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left side, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Satan is already judged, the lake of fire. And in Revelation 20, verse number 10, it says this. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. At this time in history, the Antichrist, the false prophet in the lake of fire, Satan is not taken to the lake of fire and lowered, never to be seen again. And now will come the most horrible time on earth for the unsaved, the great white throne judgment. You and I need to understand that so that we can witness and warn people. Let's read. Verse 11, Revelation 20. And I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And now the book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. At this time now, you and I, the believers in Christ, millions of us, will be over some can of bleachers surrounding in a huge amphitheater. That's the best I can get this scripture. At the bottom will be the great white throne judgment, white great throne. And then There will be the unsaved people. This might take 100 years. It might take 500 years, but it doesn't matter to us because we don't age anymore. And the first man to be called up, I know his name. The first name will be Cain. Now Cain and all the others will be resurrected with a body of shame. I want you to turn with me to the book of Daniel quickly. The book of Daniel, chapter number 12. That's Daniel chapter 12. We read from verse 1 and 2. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which stand for the children of your people. There shall be a time of trouble such as never was since was a nation, even to the same time, the time your people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. That's the book of life. That's you and I. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. You and I will have beautiful bodies. The unbelievers that are raised up will have ugly bodies. If you ever have seen demons, they are grotesque. That's how their bodies will be. Their bodies will be resistant to heat. You can put a million degrees on them and they will not burn up. But they will have a tremendous nervous system. So that when heat comes, they will feel every pain. It will just shoot through them. And Cain will walk up in his ugly body and stand before the Lord. He will be judged for having slain Abel, his brother, and all the other things afterwards. Now the lake of fire is bad, but the lake of fire will have degrees of punishment. And after he's been punished, giving his sentence, they're going to say, take him to the lake of fire, and you will never see Cain again. And then they will come, generation after generation that have lived. It's going to take a long time. One by one, they're going to come. They're going to be big screens, is what I picture, on the walls. And Jesus is going to save all their lives. On the screen will come when they were born, how they lived as children. The entire life will be shown on that movie, including thoughts that the person had. And then Jesus is going to say, is his name written in the book of life? If they say no, there's going to be a judgment. And then the lake of fire. If you and I believe that, we will treat the unbelievers differently. We will look upon unbelievers and say, you know, I don't want you to stand at the front of the judgment seat of Christ, that great white throne judgment. I want you to be saved. But you see, because we are not sure about hell, we're not sure about the lake of fire, and we're not sure about these different things, we simply think, well, somehow God would slide them through, and God would not slide them through. This is how it is going to go down. Now, and after this has been done, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is truth. This is what the Bible says. Now I can sugarcoat it. We can have entertainment. We can have a nice time social club. But what about when it comes to the end of your life? Do you want the truth or do you want to have it sugar-coated? Let's talk about now a new creation. And we turn now to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I tell you what, it's going to be very traumatic for you and me. because I believe that most of our friends are going to go to the lake of fire. It could be very, very traumatic for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we pick it up here in verse 1. But I want to say this to you first. There be untold billions of people judged at the great white throne judgment. We might have been, as I said, for hundreds of years. We don't know. And after that, the heavens and the earth is going to be destroyed. Logic would dictate that when God dissolved the current universe, which includes the earth that believes in Christ, we'd be taken to the throne of God, also known as the mountain in the north, or the third heaven. That's 2 Corinthians 12:1. It's not expedient for me, doubtless the glory. I will come to visions of revelation of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether the body cannot tell, whether the body cannot tell. God knows. Such a one caught up into third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, cannot tell, God knows. But he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter. Let me try to share this with you in a stylus now. God lives in a place called what we call the third heaven. That's what they call it. The first heaven, according to the Bible, is the atmosphere. The second heaven is the universe. And the third heaven is outside creation. God has always existed. The place where he lives has always existed and always will. That is not going to change. But the earth, the universe, our creation will be destroyed. When this is going to take place, we will simply be moved to the third heaven. And from there we will look out into an empty space when God will have a new creation. Let's look upon that. Revelation chapter 4. We're going to look upon the throne room of God. That's Revelation chapter 4. And tells us how it is at least in the throne room. And I want to read from verses 1 there. After this I looked, and behold, the door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking to me, which says, come up hither, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, one sat on the throne. And his set was to look upon it like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. What a seat that saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thundering and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass, like a crystal. In the midst of the throne and round about the throne, were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And it describes them. Verse 10, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that lives forever and ever, and cast their crown before the throne. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you have created all things, and for your pleasure they are and were created. This is the place that Jesus never told us about. We know about the throne room. He talks about the mountain in the north, the city of God, but we have not the foggiest idea for eternity backwards where God lives, what he has, what it is. We don't know that. We will go there one day. And then we will have the joy of being part of a new creation. And that now I'll take you to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter the 3rd chapter. If you read this from verse number 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved into fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is for the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, as some men count, but is long-suffering to his word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, into which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works of therein shall be burned up. If you look in the Greek text here, when it says element, it's the same word we use for atoms today. The very atoms will dissolve. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of God, wherein the heaven on the fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. Now, this pulpit is solid to me right now. The floor is solid, its chairs are solid. But I'm going to tell you this, that this solid is frozen energy. This is made of energy. In Hebrews chapter 1, it says that Jesus is upholding all things by the word of his power. And when that day comes, Jesus will hit the switch. And holding now all the atoms together will stop. And they will simply dissolve and go back into energy where it once came from. And then a new creation, a new earth. Let me talk about our earth. I want you to think about this. You and I are thinking, you know, that this is just a lump of rock and clay and dirt. Under the surface of the earth are rivers of water. Under the surface of the earth are vast lakes of fresh water. Under the earth are vast holdings of oil, coal. We have diamonds. We have iron, copper. Listen, when God designed the earth itself is very delicately built from within. And if you go far down enough, everything is just melted and hot. We call it lava when it comes out. Have you ever thought about this? If you make a cup of tea, or let's say food, how long does it stay warm? It cools down. We know that this earth has been in existence since Adam and Eve, probably longer than that, but at least Adam and Eve have been here for 7,000 years. How can we have a temperature inside the earth that has not changed for 7,000 years? What's happening? It should cool down, but it doesn't. We have geothermic, what we call it, not mining, but we're shooting down water and have it heated up as steam, and it comes back up, and we run our generators on that. And it doesn't matter how much water you push down, it never cools down. This earth is a very delicate spaceship that was built by God, and he built everything on the surface, underneath the surface. You ever thought about this? We are open to the sky. And yet we have a canopy of air around us as we are moving through space as a spaceship. It's absolutely incredible if you think about it. Now, you heard people say, well, the oil and the coal, you know, these were mountains that, you know, existed many thousand years. Something happened. They went down under the earth, you know, and then became oil. That's a lie. Oil was created by God. We have so much oil on the earth, we will never run out until Jesus comes. They just find more and more oil. And now he's going to do a new creation. Let's turn now to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21. You and I are going to be part of this. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. God the Father, we're going to see now. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon a throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him this thirst at the fountain of water of life freely. That day, we have a new heaven and new earth. The New Jerusalem coming down from heaven. And the size of that is actually a cube. If you take San Francisco and draw a line to Denver, that's how wide it is. The same width and the same height. That is a huge piece of real estate. And this is a city that God has built. It is built in the heavens. It's not built on earth. It comes down from heaven. And out of this city, this cube, God will rule his new creation forever and ever and ever. It's going to be absolutely beautiful. The Bible says he will wipe away our tears. I have family members that are lost. I remember one particularly aunt that I witnessed to a long time. And the last time I saw her, my wife and I, we walked into, they had a little store, and I went in there. And I said, you know, I'd like to pray with you. I'd like for you to accept Christ. And she said, you know, don't give me that blah, blah, blah. I don't want it. I don't care about it. Don't ever mention the name of Jesus again. She died. She's in hell today. She's a good aunt to me and my brother when we were small. They had more money than my parents had. They always gave her things, took us places, loved us, hugged us, told us how much they loved us. But she ended up in hell because she didn't want Jesus. You and I will have people like that. But when we get into heaven, God is simply going to take and wipe our tears away. When he does that, our memory of the earth will be gone. We will no longer remember the old things. Those who are lost, we saw at the great throne judgment, we will not remember that. We will have amnesia in that area. And all we will remember now is from this point on and the future, where we will build wonderful, brand new memories. Fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and with one another, the saints that have gathered into heaven. Are we only going to sit on a cloud and play a harp all eternity? No. I believe just like the first creation, we're going to be working with God, creating things, building things, space flights, populating this whole thing, doing all kind of exciting things. This is our future, according to the Bible. I'm going to take you to 1 Corinthians 15:22 very quickly as we close with this scripture. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I start in verse number 22. And I would take out he and put in the names as you understand it. For as in Adam they all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ, the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end. When Christ shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For Christ must reign till Christ has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that should be destroyed is death. For God has put all things under Christ's feet. But when he says all things are put under Christ, it is manifest that God is accepted, which he put all things under Christ. And when all things shall be subdued unto Christ, then shall his Son also himself be subject unto God that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Right now, we could not see the glory of God, the fullness. But on that day, when we enter New Jerusalem, we're going to see God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit come together in fullness, in full strength, glory, and radiating out. And we will have bodies that can take it because we have been washed in the blood of Jesus, made righteous. There's no more sin in us. And we can exist in his presence without being killed. Now, should you get excited? I think we should get excited. I mean, you know, right now we're working hard on earth. We don't have a lot of money. Some have more, some have less. People are sick around us. Every one of us got some kind of a small ailment. Basically, we are well. But all of our bodies are going to die. And, you know, if this was it, you know, it'd be bad. But listen, God is telling us this. You will have a new body. You will live in a thousand-year kingdom. Then you will live in eternity in a new creation forever and ever. It can't get any better than that. And how much does it cost? For you, nothing. For Christ, everything. God paid for it himself. Get excited. Did you see that? I wrote them at the number 24. Get excited. There's a song, you know. Let's get excited. I can't remember what the song goes by now. But you know, this is the good news. Let's take the good news out and tell people first, here's the bad news. But here's the good news. Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you right now that my name is written in a book of life. I want to thank you, Lord, that I have a reservation in a new Jerusalem in eternity. My Heavenly Father, when I get there, I will not even remember the little aches and pain and stuff that I had here on this earth. It's going to be exciting times. So, Father God, anoint us and make this a reality that we will begin to share this news with people around us, so we can take as many people as possible with us to heaven. That's our goal. And I thank you, Lord, for hearing this prayer. If you're watching right now, you're not saved, and you say, well, I'm not even saved. You can get saved today. You can get your ticket right there where you are in front of your computer. All you have to do is to say, "My Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Forgive me. Jesus, come on in and be my Lord and Savior. I want to be saved right now." And He will. Write us, call us, and let us help you. And most of all, get excited in Jesus' name.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places: heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you. but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was entitled, Jesus is Coming Back. When Jesus comes back the second time, He will come as the conquering Messiah, decimating the armies of the Antichrist and sending him and the false prophet to the lake of fire. Holy angels will execute every man, woman, and child who has taken the mark of the beast, and Satan will be bound and thrown into prison. Jesus will supernaturally restore the earth to the beauty it had before Adam and Eve sinned, and rule the world in justice and righteousness for 1,000 years. At the end, Satan will be released to deceive the masses in his last fight against God. Then the great white throne judgment takes place, where all the people from Cain to the last unsaved person will be cast into the lake of fire. Afterwards, God will dissolve the universe and create a new one with no sin, and we will finally see our Heavenly Father in all His splendor, and He will appear to us as one person. All this is reserved for those who are born again. Is your name written in the Book of Life? This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1313. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.